Hello and welcome to Timeless Truths, a sermon podcast from St. Mark Ministries in Greater Green Bay, Wisconsin. This episode, we continue our series, His Final Steps. In episode 39, let's join Brandon Steenbach as we learn how his final steps led to his enemies. So open up your heart, open up your Bible, and let's dig in to these timeless truths.
Some years ago, there was a man who decided he wanted to open a restaurant in Chicago. He had this vision to bring the flavors of genuine Wisconsin to the Windy City. You know, you go into Chicago and you can find lots of Italian places, lots of places to get a hot dog with some good hot jardinera on it, lots of places where you can get deep dish Chicago style pizza, or as many in Wisconsin refer to it, pizza casserole, you know. But he thought, these people need some cheese curds, some beer brats, butter burgers, booyah, and some good frozen custard and Kringle for dessert. So he decided he was going to invest in a restaurant, buy a place, refurbish it, make the inside look like a Northwoods bar and grill, and put all the money you need into making the kitchen excellently stocked, excellently ready, so they could have this awesome Wisconsin restaurant in downtown Chicago. There's only one problem. He didn't really know how to make any food, and he knew nothing about running a restaurant. So instead, he hired some people, some locals, to take care of that for him. He got them all the training so that everything was exactly the way it should be, and they launched the restaurant. He showed up for the grand opening, shook a lot of hands, gave a lot of smiles, and then sat back and waited to see what would happen. Well, sometime later, when he expected to start getting some income from this restaurant, he was watching all the reviews. He was seeing that all of the food critics said it was excellent, that the place was packed Thursday through Sunday. It was, by all accounts, a success, and yet he wasn't seeing any money. He wasn't getting any kind of financial reports about what was happening. He wasn't seeing any income in his accounts. He was starting to wonder, what's going on? How is it that this restaurant is a total success and yet it's not making me any money? So he called up the restaurant managers and said, hey guys, what's going on? I want to know, where's the money here? And they said, hey, boss, you don't know anything about running a restaurant. Just trust us. It'll come. Don't worry about it. It'll happen. Okay. But then more time passed, and he started to be sure this isn't going the way it's supposed to. So he got on the phone with his financial manager, and he said, I think we need to check out what's happening there. Could you go down to the restaurant and just look through the books, look through what's happening, report back? So the financial manager said, yep, gotcha. I'll head down. I'll head down today, and I'll call you when I get there. All right, so the financial manager goes on the drive down to Chicago, and the owner sits and waits by his phone all day and all day, all the way until nighttime. Still hasn't heard anything. He goes to bed kind of troubled, wondering, what's going on down there? Wakes up in the morning, still no messages. Tries calling his agent's phone. Nope, guy isn't answering the phone. So he calls the wife instead, and the wife says, you haven't heard. Yeah, they found him in an alleyway, beaten up and unconscious. He's in critical care in the hospital. I'm on my way there right now. The cops think it was a mugging gone wrong. This restaurant owner thought to himself, that could be, but I'm a little suspicious about this. That seems strange. But he was worried about his friend, so he said, all right, I'm going to come to the hospital, but first I got to make a phone call. He got on the phone with his lawyer and said, listen, I'm worried about this situation. Something doesn't smell right to me. Can you go down to the restaurant and just get some answers for me? Sure, boss, says his lawyer. I'll call you in a little bit when I get there. And while he's at the hospital visiting his friend, he gets a phone call from the lawyer. The lawyer says, you're never going to believe what happened. I was on my way, and suddenly some strange car, black tinted windows, black SUV, it came out of nowhere, and it ran me off the road. And here I am sitting on the side of the road a few miles south of Kenosha. My car's all busted up. I couldn't get there. Now the restaurant owner knew there was something wasn't right. Something's going on here. And so he called his most trusted confidant, his son. Yeah, they'd done business together in the past, so he knew he could trust this guy. He calls him up and he says, son, there's something weird going on. And his son says, yeah, it sounds fishy, Dad. Don't you worry. I'm going to get down there, and I am going to demand some answers. Call you soon. Well, a few hours later, his phone rings. And it's not his son's phone number. It just says restricted. And he answers the phone. And an unfamiliar voice says, "We have your son. You're going to sign over everything you own to us, or you'll never see your son alive again." Now, by this point, you're probably thinking to yourself, "Brandon, I've seen this movie before, right?" But it's actually an older story than anything that Hollywood has ever come up with. It's a little bit of a modern retelling of something that Jesus told, a story Jesus told in our text for tonight, which is Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 19, where Jesus is talking to the crowds and the Jewish leaders who are in the crowds, and he tells a very similar story, except in his version, they don't kidnap the son, they kill him. And Jesus tells us how that turns out for those people. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Jesus went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. And the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. And when the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Jesus looked directly at them and said, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. It's kind of a bloody story, right? Kind of a startling story. Jesus, what is the point you're trying to make with this story? We know there is a point. Everything Jesus said had a reason. But you know that the people hearing it already understood. In fact, those Jewish leaders knew exactly the point Jesus was making. That's why it says that they knew he had spoken this parable against them. See, God had given the Jewish leaders a job. He had entrusted to them the law, that Old Testament set of regulations that was designed to prepare the people so that they would proclaim the true God, the God of Israel, to the nations around them and prepare for the coming of the Anointed One, the Messiah. And it was the job of the Jewish leaders to be the stewards of that law, to prepare the people to welcome the Messiah when he came and then to reveal him to the nations. It was their job to preserve the people for the line of the Savior so that the Savior of the world could come through them. They were the stewards of the law. They were the stewards of the land. They were the stewards of the city. They were the stewards of the faith and of the people. The problem was they were bad stewards. They'd been entrusted with this job, and they did it poorly. Instead of faithfully serving God, they exploited the people. They exploited their position for their own profit. They used the rules to keep themselves in power and other people out of it. They harassed people for their sin. Meanwhile, they used the letter of the law to justify their own sin so that they could keep doing it. And when God sent prophets to them to call them to repentance, what did they do? They beat them, they killed them. So when God sent the Messiah, the Anointed One, his own son to them, what did they do with him? Did they listen? No. They rejected him as well and eventually put him to death. Okay? So we can look at this story and say, all right, yeah, those guys were pretty bad. Way to go, Jesus. Putting them in their place, telling them what they need to hear, right? But you know, all of Scripture is here to teach us, to instruct us. So a good question to ask is, Where are we in this story? Where do I see myself? And you might say, well, wait a second, though. You're not going to say that I'm with those Jewish leaders, though, right? Because I haven't done that. I haven't, you know, exploited people. I haven't worked to keep myself in power. And I haven't rejected God's messengers. I haven't rejected Jesus. I didn't put Jesus to death. Are you sure about that? I mean, let's think about this for a minute. Thinking about stewardship, what has been entrusted into your care? What financial resources, material possessions, position in the world, sitting right here in this church that belongs to us as a people? All of the time and the talents that you've been given, all of which God has entrusted into your care for the purpose of building his kingdom, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, to spread his gospel message to all people. But have you always been faithful in using those things for that purpose? Is all your money always gone to God's purpose? All your time, all your talents, all your energy gone to God's purposes? Or sometimes to your own desires, to your own purposes? And if somebody ever says to you, hey, you know, I don't think that you should really be involved in that activity. I don't think that's something you should spend your money on. I don't know if that's really the right thing for you to do. How do you react? Do you say, oh, yeah, you're right. Thank you so much for that. Thanks for pointing out my failure there. Or do you say, no, that's my business. What I do with my money and with my time is my own business, none of your business. This is a free country. I can do what I want, right? Or how about this? I know this has happened to you where you read something that somebody has done. You hear a story about something somebody has done that sounds pretty awful, and you think to yourself, well, you know, I got my own problems, but at least I'm not like that guy. You know, I've done some things wrong in my life, but I'm glad I've never done that thing. And so you try to make yourself feel better, right? Make yourself look better by comparing yourself. And then maybe somebody says to you, yeah, but you know, I mean, that doesn't really justify you. You know that, right? And you're still a sinner. And how do you react to that? Do you say, oh, yeah, thanks for pointing out how awful I am. Yep, I am. Or do you say, hey, who are you to judge me, by the way? I mean, what have you done? Right? Or maybe you've had the experience where somebody said something to you, did something to you that offended you. Maybe somebody cut you off in traffic. Maybe you were in a grocery store and somebody was rude to you. Maybe somebody you know just said something that really just rubbed you the wrong way, and so you let them have it, right? You let them know, and then later on, you made sure to tell somebody else about it. You know, can you believe what they did to me? Well, I'll tell you what I said to them. I tell you what I did. I let them know, right? And then maybe your friend says, do you think they were just having a bad day? I think maybe they just needed somebody to be kind to them. Doesn't sound like you came through on that. Doesn't sound like you were very nice to them. And do you go, oh, thank you for pointing out my failure? Or do you say, hey, wait, you weren't there. None of your business. Hey, how dare you? You didn't know what I was going through, right? And now those are just examples of sin that we can fall into that maybe it's smaller in our eyes than what those Jewish leaders did, but it's of the same type. But there's so many other sins too. So many other things that you know you have done that God has said don't do, and things that you know you should have done that God said to do. And do we take sin seriously enough? We realize how damnable sin is because God does. And God's word on sin is this: sin must be punished. Sin cannot stand. Somebody has to die. You have to die for your sin, or someone else does in your place. The fact is that because you sin, and because Jesus came to die in your place, then you could say that in a sense, you put Jesus on the cross, because it's your sin that necessitated it. And so even though you may not have stood there in the crowd shouting, crucify him, you are just as complicit in Jesus' death as the Jewish leaders were. But I wants you to understand something about what's going on in this story. See, Jesus, if he didn't care about what happened to these Jewish leaders, if he didn't care about their salvation, he could have just left them alone. He could have just ignored them. Why did he tell this parable to them? Why did he try to get their attention? Why did he tell this story? Because he wanted them to repent. Jesus was reaching out in love to his enemies to say, turn away from your sin. Stop rejecting me. Stop rejecting God. Start listening. Stop sinning. Jesus was reaching out in love to his enemies. Now, they wouldn't get it. They would continue to push for him to be crucified. And Jesus would let that happen, and he would go willingly to that cross because, see, he knew that he would be carrying not just the sins of those who were going to accept him and say, yeah, I want to be on Jesus' side, not just the sins of those who would repent and say, I give my sin to Jesus, but also the sins of those who would reject him, also the sins of those who would spend years, maybe their whole lives, refusing to repent, even the sins of those who were calling for his crucifixion. Jesus was carrying the sins of his enemies. So even as they were putting him on the cross, he was going willingly to die for them because he loves even his enemies. And if Jesus would love even his enemies, what do you think that says about his love for you and me? You know, if Jesus carried all sin, then he carried yours. Even the sin of your misuse of time, your misspent money, and your rejection of people calling you to repentance for it. He died for the sin of your comparison, trying to make yourself look and feel better by comparing yourself to other people, and the sin of pushing away that person who calls you to repent for that. He died for the sin of your slander, your gossip of others, your prideful response to hurt feelings, and for rejecting people who lovingly call you away from your pride. And for all those sins that go further, that go deeper, that are on your heart and on your mind, that you know, and God knows, maybe nobody else does, Jesus died for those sins. Jesus paid the price for all of that. He willingly did so because Jesus reaches out in love to those who put him on the cross, including you and me. He dies for those who put him on the cross, including you and me. So, as we follow Jesus' footsteps in these last days towards his cross and towards his tomb, and as we look at this story where he confronts his enemies, and as we ask ourselves that question, where do I stand in this story? What we have to see is that while in our sin, we stood on the side of his enemies, but now that he's called us into faith in him, now that he's called us to follow him, now that he's called us to be his own, where do we stand now? And if Jesus would reach out to us, even when we stood among his enemies, even if he would reach out to the people who would crucify him, he would show love to all of us. What does that mean for us now as his followers? Maybe it means that when that person calls you to repentance, when he sends somebody into your life to say, turn away from your sin, that is actually Jesus speaking through somebody for your sake, for your good, to call you back to himself. And that's a time to respond by receiving that call from Jesus, by saying, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. I will give that sin to you. I will leave it at the foot of your cross, and I will seek to be the steward you've called me to be of the things that you've given me. But more than anything else, I will go to the cross where I see that you love even your enemies, to see that you die even for your enemies and for me, and to see that if Jesus loves even those who would put him on the cross, he must love you and me.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Timeless Truths. Whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener, we're glad you could join us. For more information or to support the work of St. Mark Ministries, check out our website at stmarkministries.com. Be sure to tune in next episode as we continue our series, His Final Steps, for a special Palm Sunday episode. And remember, you matter and you are loved.